I promised Mr. Sheba that I wouldn't sing, so I feel like I'm caught in between two mountains over here. Rav Zucka brought up a very interesting thing that happens in this week's parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing at Kriyas Yamsuf, the Mitzrayim are in back of them. They're starting to throw arrows and spears at Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael is getting nervous. They got the Yamsuf in front of them, wild animals to the side. They don't know what to do. So what does Moshe do? The obvious thing, right? Dam Takadosh Baruch Hu, save us. What does God say back to Moshe Rabbeinu? Matatakele, why are you calling out to me? Wait a second. Don't we know? What does a Jew do when he's in trouble? When a Jew's in trouble, he davens. Not only that, we know that when Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim, what was the only schus that got them out of Mitzrayim? We know that when Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim, they reached the 49th level of Tumah. Had they have reached the 50th, they would never have gotten out. What's the 50th Madrega that they could have reached? What didn't they do? So I heard from my Rebbe many times, the 50th Madrega of Tumah is absolute apikorsis, total disbelief in God. And what's the proof that Klal Yisrael didn't sink into that Madrega? It's because it says, "Vanitzak El Hashem," they screamed out, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu." The entire reason why Klal Yisrael was saying this is because they screamed out. So you would assume that if the entire reason why Klal Yisrael got out of Mitzrayim in the first place, they escaped from Baruch because they screamed out, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu." So when Klal Yisrael is in trouble, that's what they should do. And here they are, Kriyas Yamsuf, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu is looking at Moshe saying, "What are you doing? Just jump in." Well, what should he have done? You know, there is a terminology that's used by people that used to get on my nerves a lot. And basically, people used to tell you, you know, when you leave yeshiva, you go back into the real world. As if, revising, our lives are not real. We don't pay real bills, right? We don't pay real taxes, right? Life is not real for us. Yet when you go into the world in America, that's reality. Hollywood and things like that are reality. But then when I thought about it, you know, they're actually right. Because if you take the word olam, which is the Hebrew word for world, what does the word olam come from? The word olam comes from the word halam, which means to hide. The entire purpose of the physical existence of this world is to hide the Ribbono Shel Olam's existence. To make it difficult for us to find him and to see him. When you're here in Yeshiva, when you're here in Eretz Yisrael, things become clear. Clearer, at least. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls, when he tells Avraham Avinu to go to Eretz Yisrael, he calls Eretz Yisrael El Ha'aretz Asher Arecha. The land which I will show you. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu call it that? The Al Shech HaKadosh says, the reason why Eretz Yisrael is called El Ha'aretz Asher Arecha, because it's El Ha'aretz Asher Arecha, it's the land that I will show you yourself. It's the land that I will show you who you are. And things are clearer here. It's not so foggy. Those of you who were with us in Tzfat that weekend that we went up, right? It's scary to drive through fog. Fog was so thick you couldn't see 5 feet in front of you. Driving down a mountaintop, it's scary. And that is, you're right. The rest of the world out there, when you leave yeshiva, it gets very foggy. But how do you combat that? How do you make things clear? How do you retain that clarity? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's parasha, Big Yisod. The Yam Suf is called Yam Suf. Where does the word Suf come from? Comes from the word sufa. You know what sufa means? A storm. And the Gemara in many, many places that when it talks about a storm, it's talking about the Yetzirah. Klal Yisrael, when they're in Golus, it's always represented by Klal Yisrael in a tormented sea. A sea that's throwing you from one place to the other. You want to learn how to survive in that Yamsuf. You want to learn how to park that sea. You got to jump in. Don't beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's up to you. It's not up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore. You have to make a decision. You have to decide what's right and what's wrong. You have to decide how much you care about it. You know, I heard an unbelievable thing from a Talmud in the yeshiva the other day, and it scared the living daylights out of me. And I really hope he didn't mean this. Quote, "I don't care what I want to do in life, Rabbi. I just want to make a lot of money." That's all you want to do in life? You want to make a lot of money? Okay, guys, I'm writing your epitaph for you. Okay? He went to college, Columbia, Maryland, I don't know, NYU, you name it. Second line. He made a lot of money. Period. Good epitaph? Means a lot to you guys? That's what you want written there? For all eternity, for everybody to see, this sums up who you were. I assume you want more than that in life. I assume you guys want to be better fathers. I assume you guys want to be better husbands. I assume you guys want to be better people. The question is, where are you going to learn that? Where are you going to gain that from? I guarantee you the parties can wait. I guarantee you the beer bongs can wait. I guarantee you all that stuff can wait. Because there will never be a point in your life where you look back at your life and you say, you know, I wish I became more financially independent at the age of 26 instead of 25. Nobody will look at you any differently where you become financially independent at 26 or if you became 25. But I guarantee you, you might someday look back at your life and say, you know what? I really wish I would have spent that extra time to find out who I was, what was important to me, and to establish my values more properly. You know, whenever you go into a business deal, you have to think about your losses and your gains. What are your potential losses and what are your potential gains? In my eyes, and maybe for specific individuals it might be different, Shana bets all win-win. You have nothing to lose. Right? Because again, when are you going to establish your values? When are you going to make yourself into who you want to be? Okay, fine, yeah. You'll go to college, you'll get jobs, right? And you'll start the monotony of life. Wouldn't you rather learn how to live first? And so you might ask me, he goes, Rabbi, come on, what can one more year do? How much of a bigger deal is it? So we all knew as children. We were told the story of Rabbi Kiva. Goes for 12 years to yeshiva. Comes back. He hears his wife say, you know, I would have sent him back for another 12. He goes back for another 12 without even saying hello to his wife. Why? Because 12 plus 12 doesn't equal 24. Growth in Torah is not 1 plus 1 equals 2. Growth in Torah is exponential. The amount by spending one more year to fortify your values, one more year to fortify what's important for you, to get a little bit more clarity in life, you cannot even count how much of a difference that makes. Because yes, when you go back to that world in America, things are going to get very cloudy. And unless you've taken the plunge, you're going to drown. It's all up to you. It's all up to who you want to be in life and what you're going to do with it. Because again, it's your life. But think to yourself, what do I have to lose? Okay, fine, you have to hear from me for another year. Big freaking deal. I'll ask Rabbi Eisenstein not to let me be a Shana better rabbi, don't worry. But seriously, guys, what do you have to lose? So you push off college for another year. It's going to make that big of a difference? You're going to be so far behind everybody else? Do you know how much of an excuse that is? I remember I left high school after 2 years and went to college. And still, when I was sitting there, Shana Beth, thinking if I wanted to go, I was like, you know, I'm going to be behind the schedule. I was in college at 16 and I was still thinking that. It's a joke. Guess what, guys? The whole point is that before Amalek comes to fight Klal Yisrael, what comes first? The parsha of the Mon. Why? Because the only way to have the antidote for Amalek, which is what's going to cause all the sphakis in your life, is to understand where really your bread is buttered from. Where is your parnasa coming from? Where is everything? Where is every breath that you take coming from? It's all coming from the Rabbanu Shalom anyways. You guys have heard this from me 1,000 times over. Once you jump into college, you're getting into life in the fast lane. And everybody's in a rush, but the fast lane ends in one place. And that's your grave. Why are you in such a rush? Well, Victor Miller used to say, live your life by what you want written on your tombstone. So start thinking, guys. What do I want written on my tombstone? And where am I going to learn about it? Am I going to learn about it in Maryland? Am I going to learn about it in NYU? Am I going to learn about it in Columbia? Or am I going to learn about it in Yeshiva? That's the decision you have to make. And I guarantee you guys, if any one of you signs up for Shana Bet and comes back for Shana Bet, it is a decision that you will never regret in your life. Never in a million years. Because not only will you benefit from it, not only will your parents benefit from it, not only will your wife and children benefit from it, but I guarantee you that all of Klal Yisrael will benefit from it also. Thank you.